Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The "Where is Jesse exactly?" edition. The Packers, Colts. What did we learn? Did you get a positive? Did you get a negative? How'd your Steinhoffel sleeper of the week go? Oh, that's right. Jesse and Tausch weren't here, so we never got theirs. Edition. And the streak is over, but a huge series with the Chicago Cubs begins edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you could possibly need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable, so you can move Wilde and Tausch into the post position, ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is doing the Barry Alvarez show at noon. So he's not doing our program.
Yeah. Not 100% sure why that matters, but yeah, I don't know. Okay. Whatever.
I think he's just worried about tweets about what happened yesterday, the streak ending and people questioning Pat Murphy's job security. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I am great. Last week of training camp, last preseason game coming up. Some decisions to be made a week from today, tomorrow, I think. A lot going on, and Packers have a closed to the public, open to the media, closed to people who try to do the radio show while the practice is going practice today. So I will be headed over there after practice ends and after the show ends for locker room. But tomorrow,
that seems oddly specific.
Yeah, I don't like to rock the boat. I suppose I could probably push the envelope a little bit, but it's okay. Tomorrow it's open to the fans. I will be there. Thursday it's a joint practice. I'll be there.
Did they say don't do the radio show from this practice?
I think it was, it wasn't said in that phrasing.
How was it said? Because it's not as if you're giving away trade secrets when you ask what's going on, you're nothing.
The way, I know you enjoy that joke, but someone was at a Badgers practice the other day and gave very few details other than the defense had a good day.
A lot of times, Jason, and you've taught me this in this business, it's not what you say, it's what you don't say.
Indeed. Yes, we knew what you meant. Yeah, no, we figured it out.
I don't. So let's not try to conflate those two things at all.
Ooh, conflate. FYI. It's a good word.
Yes.
What else is the good word for you? Your beloved daughter Eleanor returned from camp. You took a day off. Spend more time with her.
She's been back since last Wednesday, as I told you on Thursday of last week.
Yeah, but then so you weren't on the show anything. On Friday, and then we had the weekend.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I had a nice weekend. It was went and watched Badgers practice on Saturday. It was a scrimmage.
Very similar to what the Packers.
Now, offensively was better. Okay. Practices, there was a lot more to kind of get your chops into. Very similar to what we saw Saturday with the Packers. A lot of twos and threes. There was some, obviously more ones on Saturday, but it was a lot more limited as far as what we did. And then was able to scurry home because I'll be dead honest. I knew Green Bay played Saturday. I did not know it was a noon tip, so there was a little jostling to do that. So I was able to watch that game, and then the Brewers over the weekend, a lot of excitement, and then obviously yesterday, I don't think anybody's all that angry that we got beat. I think there's starting to be a vibe that we don't want to peak too soon, and I'm nervous about that. Mm-hmm. We had that discussion last Thursday, but. Yeah, it's a Packers show, and I obviously the Packers game on Saturday, I thought provided some pretty intriguing things from my perspective, and I don't know if we want to do positives, negatives. I'm not 100% sure which road you want to go down, but obviously we don't care if they win the game or not, but it's kind of nice when they do win the game because it shows the depth and it shows the bottom part of your roster where it didn't show last week. I thought the boys responded and looked a heck of a lot better than that putrid performance that they did against the Jets. That was kind of a couple of my takeaways.
Well, we will get to all of your takeaways. We can certainly do positives and negatives, but I did want to touch on, because we are not a Brewers-centric show, and I would like to spend with it getting down to kind of the crunch time here of training camp. Again, closed practice today, open practice tomorrow, nothing Wednesday. They do walkthroughs and such, so no one is seeing any of that. Thursday, joint practice with the Seattle Seahawks. Final open practice of training camp already. And then the preseason finale on Saturday.
Did they end up getting to double-digit padded practices?
Good question. Today is practice number 15, I believe.
Of pads.
And two of them will have been closed. I don't know if they're in pads or not today. I'm sure we'll get some updates from Ray Nitschke Field. They will be in pads tomorrow, and they'll be in pads on Thursday. I'm guessing we're not going to get to double digits. No, you guys would get to double digits in the first week and they won't in the entire month. I think they'll end up with nine.
Hyperbole. That's,
I know,
100% accurate.
Oh, I'm aware. So, but I wanted to
crazy.
We're going to get ready. We're going to talk to our buddy, Dom Catronio, about the Brewers and the big double header that is today at Wrigley.
But I don't know why we pulled Myers yesterday.
We're second guessing the manager, are we?
Yeah, no, I am in this case. Because I understood, obviously, you emptied the pen. You had an extra inning game the night before. You got a five-game set. You're not going to use your rebay. You're not going to use McGill. I understood all that, but I think the plan yesterday was to go with Quintana, and then Myers goes in. Myers gets a routine grounder, old boy boots it, then an easy pop-up. At that point, I'm kind of like, all right, you got one out. Let this thing ride. Mm. Not let's bring in more arms. So Pat Murphy's he has done a fantastic job. I'm not Jesse Nelson in this. All I'm saying was yesterday, let's just – you played it a little bit like, all right, it's not the end of the world. We're not going to empty the bucket to sweep the Reds. That was what yesterday was, and that's okay. But you got to buy it. Just go finish it off. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. And I would have been fine if we got beat that way. I would have been fine. I mean, I'm fine this way. I'm not losing any sleep over it. But
and your double burgers.
I just thought yesterday was. I thought yesterday was kind of a let this thing ride out, win, lose, or draw, and move on. And we got a little cutesy, and the cutesiness kind of got us beat.
Yeah, I don't.
What
think...
were we going to do if it had, if went another inning? Where are we going if it goes
That's
another
a good question.
Inning?
Yeah. You were not the only one second-guessing that. I saw a lot of that. I saw some people accusing Pat Murphy of channeling his inner Craig Counsell because that was apparently the kind of move that Craig Counsell might have made once upon a time. I'm not well-versed enough to be able to speak to that. What I would say is it was a crummy way to end a series that had had some pretty remarkable things happen, right? I mean, on Friday, they were down, what? 8-1
Yeah.
And they won 10-8
Yelly. Uke.
Yeah. On Saturday, they were down 2-1 They end up winning 6-5 in 11 innings, and Andrew Monasterio hits a pinch hit 3-run homer to take the lead in the 11th.
Pretty fun.
So it would have been fun if Contreras's home run in the ninth inning that gave them a 2-1 lead would have held up, because that would have been three pretty darn dramatic ways to win and keep the streak going. Although, and I'm not saying this is like the NFL, even though that's our kind of lane. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you not mentioned from time to time over the years as we are kicking off our 10th season together that sometimes it's okay to maybe lose a game down the stretch and kind of get it out of your system and then go on a run? Am I citing someone else, or is that you that has said
previously? I think there's value in losses, and there's value in reshaping and kind of refocusing. And I think yesterday, had we lost 1-0 and it, you know, Contreras doesn't hit the home run, and it's not. You're also on a little bit of a magic carpet ride you don't want to end. And I think going into Chicago, it would have been fine having a 15-game win streak and letting it just continue build. There is concern, and we're not going to get into that today, about peaking too soon. And, you know, we brought that up a little bit when I was up in, when I was out of town on Thursday. That conversation, I think there's more folks that feel that way than are maybe leading on. That we don't want to peak too soon, and oh boy. So I'm not mad about the loss. I'm just kind of irritated about the way it happened. And again, baseball's baseball. Tricky stuff happens. You're gonna lose games you should win. You're gonna win some games you should lose. The Brewers have obviously been on the great end of that throughout the last 2 or 3 months. But yesterday was a winnable game, and you had it sitting there. And when you don't do it and you have this hot streak going, you do wonder if at some point, you've been saying this, that you revert back to the mean. This is not the week to revert back. This week is Throttle City USA. And then if you want to let off the gas after Throttle City, the 5-game throttling, This is going to be Custer's last stand for the Cubbies all week.
Council's
it is
last
going
stand.
To be. It will be a fun little watch to see how this goes. Because realistically, if the Brewers go 3-2 over this 5 games, this is a wrap city. The only way that they breathe oxygen back into the Cubs if they get swept. That's, I think, the only way. So it's going to be intriguing to watch. I think the Milwaukee Brewers probably yesterday, they had a plan because of the strain that they put and know what's coming because the Cubs cowered it out and didn't do this doubleheader a couple months or a month ago. They built this up, and they have put themselves in a position to kind of have their last stand down at Wrigley over these 5 days, and we'll see if that was a wise move or not for them.
The Brewers enter this series 78-45 after their 14-game winning streak came to an end. The Cubs 70-53. Yes, if you're good at math and you're not just using the loss column. You can also use the win column. They are 8 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers as they start this series.
So they're 9 in the loss column? Is that right?
No, they're 8. They're 8 in both the win and the loss column, actually.
Okay. That's really what matters.
So,
as we've known.
So, as Tausch points out, you win 3 of the 5. If you win the series as the Brewers, you walk Nine out game. Of there with a bigger lead than you went in, right? Uh-huh. If yep. somehow the Cubs were to win all 5, they would be within 3 games then when the series ends. That would be suboptimal. And I'll
all
leave
I'm
that.
Looking for... Again, be awesome to go 5-0 and just completely wrap this thing up.
Wrap city.
I am a realist. If we go, I will be happier than a clam if on Thursday we are 9 games up.
Yep. Yeah,
on Thursday night we get back and it's like, oh, we're 9 games up. We're in a great spot. Let's go.
They have played 123 games, so they would be 5 more games would put them at 128. That would mean they would only have 34 games left in the season. They'd be up 9.
I don't know
with
why you're asking. Yeah.
They'd be up 9. They'd be 9 games ahead of the Cubs with only 34 games left in the season.
So what's the magic number, Mr.
Well,
Matt
I wasn't trying to do that math. I was just
you're
trying to point
there.
Out.
Hey,
that
you can do this. And
all I was trying to do.
This.
All I was trying yeah. to do was say that Mr. Rap City USA. Was probably right when you're saying you got a 9-game lead with only 34 games left to play. So, yes, yeah, it would be
well,
great to
seen,
come out of this.
In fairness, there have been collapse. I've seen the Red Sox collapse with a 12-game lead going into September. So, but this team, that's not going to happen. That's just not how this group is built. So, let's go 3-2. Let's have a 9-game lead. The Cubs are done. No more games against them. And then let's just go about our way, get mm-hmm. to that September 18th, enjoy the heck out of it to September 18th, and then we start looking at how are we going to position to get this thing done and win a chip. Because the pressure, and that this will be a fascinating topic on our show and on others, the pressure will be on the Milwaukee Brewers You're to win right. a world championship.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't going to be the cutesy little, oh, the cutesy little train that could.
A little engine
no,
that
we're
could.
A juggernaut.
Yeah, uh-huh.
If we win this division and are the one seed in the NL, this is no longer the little cutesy, wootsy, tootsy. We are the juggernaut. We will be the heavy favorites, regardless of what Las Vegas says.
Well, the Brewers are built different. Hopefully they're built the way your Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin are, because then you know that pressure is a privilege and they will more than stand up to it. How'd you like that?
For long-lasting comfort and reliability, man, it is easy to trust Pella. Each piece specifically constructed for your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings, and there is no reason to wait. Because if you order by August 31st, you get 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's 5 years of no interest payments, so don't miss out. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Terms and conditions do apply.
All right, we're going to talk Packers from here. We do have Dom joining us at 10:30, so we'll circle back if you're, you know, if you're a hardcore Brewers fan in addition to your Packers fandom, which is probably the main reason why you listen to this program, that and Tausch's stream of consciousness. I gotta be honest, it's been a while since been a minute since I had talked to you, since obviously we had Thursday's show and then you were otherwise engaged
golfing.
On Friday.
A little golfing. Yep.
Yeah. I thought I was a little, it must have been a quiet weekend because usually you come in, you know, kind of like the Tasmanian devil with a variety of weekend occurrences. And all it was second-guessing a pitching change. It was a little bit unexpected.
What did you want me to do?
Nothing.
What did you want me to do?
I want it to be organic like it always is, and apparently you had a relatively quiet weekend. Is that fair?
Yeah, I had a really nice weekend. Yeah, we had a work Saturday, and yesterday was a nice day.
Yeah, absolutely. Scotty Scheffler. Yeah, just watched a little golf. No?
Didn't really watch any golf, no. Watched some Brewers.
watch a little Brewers.
And question
that's
the pitching
change. That's where I second
guessed. Indeed.
Yes.
All right. Well,
I do have an interesting one. Put this down on the docket because I did get in an interesting conversation with some former teammates at the G&G about the state of football. I basically said football has never been more popular, ever.
Okay.
And a lot of pushback from former teammates. And I don't know what their metrics are on what they judge how popular it is. But I think from a revenue and from a viewership and from a general interest and now international interest, has the NFL ever been more popular than it's on? We'll probably hit on that tomorrow, but just write that up because I don't think the NFL's ever been more popular.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. We'll discuss the NFL's popularity tomorrow if Hunter writes it down and gives it to Jesse so Tausch doesn't forget.
Well, we don't even know if Jesse will be here tomorrow. So
that's yeah, that's very true. I could get called out of the bullpen again.
It could easily be Hunter again, yes.
We will get Tausch's takeaways, and we'll do some positives and negatives because I am interested in how Packers fans viewed Saturday. They had 29 guys who did not dress, and then Matthew Golden dressed, and then he didn't play either. So 30 guys who did not play, most of them, not all of them, but most of them healthy scratches, except for the 6 wide receivers who didn't play. And, of course, the starting quarterback who continues to recover from his left thumb surgery. We'll talk about the game and what we can expect this week. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Beat the Colts 23-19. Sean Clifford with a touchdown run for the go-ahead points, and then quite the finish for a preseason game. Would have been a much more controversial ending had the game counted, I think. Matt LaFleur telling me yesterday that I was wrong to think that should have been a touchdown, even though he had admitted after watching it on film he wasn't sure what it was. He was giving me a hard time, which I always enjoy with Matt. Tausch, the biggest, to me anyway, and there's a lot of storylines that came out of it, but the biggest, and I don't know if you've ever had a teammate like this, I don't remember anyone who to this degree has been this unfortunate. We finally see, once again, Marshawn Lloyd on the field. And Marshawn Lloyd gets hurt again. Now he has a hamstring issue.
I don't know if we lost Jason there. I think
Hello?
One of the things. Yeah, I didn't know if you. I thought you were going to finish your point.
I'm frozen on video, so I was confused.
No, I understand. I understand. Marshawn Lloyd, I think we've all been enamored with the glimpses that we saw, and you saw it big time on Saturday. He catches that, I don't know if it was a wheel route or if getting him out of the backfield. He is an explosive athlete. Christian Watson, explosive athlete. Explosive players are wound a little tighter. Hamstring, calf. Like, that's the unfortunate part of it. And to answer your question, I'm sure there have been guys that have been, missed a ton of time because they've been injured or they've had soft tissue or whatever it might be. Hey, buddy, how you doing? I didn't see you looking vertical here. It's unfortunate for him, and I think it's unfortunate for this offense because you know that he could bring a different dynamic to what – Josh Jacobs could do. And when you have that, and especially after Josh, you know, took the beating that he did last year with all the carries. You want to kind of find some different packages. And unfortunately, when he makes that nice catch, it sounds as if he pulled his hammy again or he's got a lower leg injury. He's going to be out for a little bit. It's unfortunate because as a young player, what you're trying to do is you're trying to stack success. And you're trying to stack that because that gives you more opportunities to get more opportunities. And he earned that. You know, coaches were looking at that saying, ooh,
yeah,
this is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And then you get the injury report. You know, it comes up, Flea hands it to you, and you look, and you're like, son of a blank. They just can't catch a break. And that same thing is happening, you know, on steroids to Lloyd because he's looking at, like, why I can't catch a break. And then you have to put so much mental energy into the physical, getting back to playing. It's unfortunate for him. It's unfortunate for the team. But at least you're seeing why they picked him where they did because you see the talent. And the unfortunate part is how are you going to harness it? Because as I said with Vinny and the boys on WTMJ this morning, that's great that he has that. But the unfortunate part is during fall camp and in the spring, you can have these conversations. Once you get into the fall, unfortunately, you become a forgotten man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, well, we don't have him. All right, great. Who's next? Oh, all right. Well, let's find something we could do with this player. Because you don't have time to wallow and say, oh, what could have been? Oh, right. This would have been fun. And once the regular season starts, until you're fully ready to go, you become an afterthought. And that's the last thing you want to do in this business.
So the question I had, because remember, like they did with Christian Watson and Eric Stokes last preseason or last offseason, once the season ended, or maybe it was even before the playoff game, I think it was in early January, they sent Marshawn Lloyd to Badger Athletic Performance at the UW, just like they did with Watson, to try and solve his hamstring issues. And they put him through the same battery of tests. And look, it did solve Watson's issues. It solved Eric Stokes' issues. And yet, in this case, further evidence of how unlucky this guy is, he went through the same process, and now he's got another hamstring. It's the third time it's happened, and he's barely been in the league a year. On top of that, I asked Matt LaFleur, you know, is there anything that he could be doing that could be preventing this? And LaFleur's answer, I thought, was very telling. He said, those are my questions to the medical staff all the time. And he's like, he's in great shape. He said, you just chalk it up to bad luck. I just have never, you know, I asked Ben Sermons, the running backs coach, this yesterday. You know, he's been in the league for two decades. He's like, I've never seen anything like this, and none of us have. So, you know, no one wants to be making history for being the unluckiest man in the world when it comes to injuries. But when you start out with him starting his rookie training camp on the non-football injury list with a hip injury, and then an ankle, and then a hamstring, and then an appendix, and then groin earlier in camp when he got hit by Nate Hobbs, and now a hamstring, this guy's like Job. It's incredible. So Job. I don't know. Job, yeah.
Did Job,
remember?
Job had hamstring issues?
No, he just, I mean, he God pushed him through a lot too. No?
Well, no, he had to have a lot of patience. Job did.
Well, right, but he had a lot of crappy things happen to him.
Well, what all happened to Job? What am I forgetting?
He could have been having hamstring issues. I could have been a part of it, trying to dodge things out there. Yeah.
I remember he had boils.
Yep.
Which are not the same as...
You gotta get those lanced.
I mean...
You gotta get boils lanced.
Yeah, I would say this. If Marshawn Lloyd's next issue is boils, then we're gonna have to have a conversation. No, I would not be happy. Oh, you think because they're easier, you just lance them and then you can play, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you can play with boil, with lance, with
boils. I gotta tell you, there is no other show that could discuss the possibility of an NFL player.
No, I didn't. I always thought Job was known for his patience. Yeah, I didn't know he was known for injury.
Right, because,
he was an injury
because
prone.
He had all these.
Job was injury prone, huh?
Well, no, it's patience just through the problems and the injuries and things but like that.
Isn't it more perseverance, too? Isn't Job
well, does
perseverance?
Doesn't Marshawn Job have to do the same thing as persevere? I mean,
well, he's going to have to if he's going to carve out a career, yeah.
All right, Hunter, I don't know if you're a biblical scholar. I am not, although I did drop a Zacchaeus reference
last night. It certainly feels like you are. You're pretty dialed in whenever I make biblical references.
So I believe all of his, like, you know how Joe Thomas has his farm with all the Hall of Fame beef? I believe Job lost his entire, like, livestock, correct? That was one of the things.
Yeah,
all
I believe that was it.
All his kids died?
Yeah.
I mean,
he went through it.
And then he had the boils. There were some other things
so
that
I
happened
didn't realize
too.
Job had all that stuff happen to him. I'll have to recheck my studies on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of trials and tribulations for Job. This has been your Bible Minute. We'll have the tennis minute coming up a little bit later in the program. My question for you is, you made a very good point that the NFL moves quickly and they move on from you. Mm-hmm. He's probably, based on what LaFleur said, I'm guessing they're either going to put him on IR at the cutdown, which you're allowed two guys that you can put on IR at the cutdown and then bring back later in the season, and then you have eight of those during the season. I'm guessing that he ain't going to be ready by the opener, so that's probably what's going to happen to him.
And so are you out 4 weeks then? Is that a four-week deal?
Yes, just like the pup. You got to miss at least 4 weeks, and then you open up the practice window again. But that opens the door for Chris Brooks and for Emmanuel Wilson and Izzy Abakanda and Amar Johnson, the Jackrabbits. Like, they do have other guys. And to your point, Tausch, they can't sit around and go, gosh darn it, the heck anyway, we really would like to have Marshawn Lloyd out there, because they just, that's not how the NFL works. So he's a third-round pick. They're not going to give up on him. But the last thing you want is for him to have another year that is a wasted year. The guy played in one game last year. He should just not play against the Colts or the Broncos, because that's apparently where many, or against the Packers, I guess, in practice. All right, we need to, there's more to get to from that game. I want to get Tausch's takeaways from what he saw, but I really want to get Tausch to tell me about his love of Tito's.
Oh, good golfing. Good. I keep forgetting transfusion, I think we call them, with the grape juice, little lime juice, and of course, Tito's handmade vodka. What a great thing. I love three things. Football, firing up the grill, and a great cocktail in hand. And you know Tito's is going to be that. Tito's Handmade Vodka, always my go-to, made in Austin, Texas. First legal distillery in the state. Tito's is six-time distilled for a clean, smooth finish. And it's naturally gluten-free. You know, Tito's is great taste. You can go with bloodies. You can do anything with it. And the beautiful part is, they also give back in the community in a big way, partnering with nonprofits, doing real good in communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, and you make sure you savor that responsibly.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Go, baby, go, go, go.
The left tackle competition continues. I just wrote about this at channel 3000.com. Tausch,
Irish kicking article. I never got to it. I don't think I'm going to have to. Is that a fair assessment?
Okay. Again, regardless of what happened in the game, he could have made 1,000 field goals in a row, and they still would not make him the kicker, Mark McNamee. And he definitely did not make 1,000 in a row.
Well, he did not.
Did not go great for the Irishman. But again, fish out of water story. Let's take Mark Tauscher, NFL legend, and dump him in Ireland and have him play Gaelic football. And
it's a good
story, even though you would suck.
And you still have to talk with the accent, too, then.
Is it really a good story if I go over there and I'm, you know, have no chance? Is it?
He's an international pathway player. They get an exemption. They can carry him, and he doesn't even count against the roster. Just, I'm sure
the
Gaelic team would do the same with you. Look, again, nothing against Mark. Oh, Danny boy.
Goody, I know your quarterback just underwent surgery. We don't know what's happening. I know there's a left tackle spot. Isaiah Simmons, all this other stuff. But I am fascinated. I need to know about this Gaelic kicker that you signed. I need to know more answers. Well, actually, Jason, you know, Marshawn Lloyd's going through some stuff. We got a bunch of different things at receiver. I don't want to tell you. I would have loved for Goody to just say, Jason, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but you really want to know more about the Gaelic kicker.
So,
absolutely I do.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
And I don't want to tell you how I do my job. But if you go to channel3000.com, you can read about Jordan Morgan's competition at left tackle. You can read about Jordan Love getting back on the practice field and the fact that Matt LaFleur is going to do something in practice that he despises. You can read about the unfortunate situation of Job Lloyd, Marshawn Lloyd. You can read the game coverage. I can write more than one story. Now, if you're not interested in the Irish kicker, that's fine. Don't read it. But it's a fish out of water story. It's something different.
Sure. The old fish out of water.
I didn't write that.
I just
that
hope he's not Jonah. We just hope that he's not Jonah. You got Job, Jonah. Who's Lazarus? Who do we have that's going to be Lazarus coming up on these roster
cutdowns?
Well,
now, wait a minute. Are we going to stay old?
Stackhouse?
Is Stackhouse
going to be the Lazarus where he's risen and back?
They got like four guys named Isaiah on their roster as well. Yeah. All they need is an Abraham.
Okay. Sure.
Although they moved on from Isaiah Dunn, which cost us an Isaiah. Look, it's a cute story, as you would like to say. We covered all the other bases, including the quarterback. It's not like we didn't cover the quarterback at channel3000.com.
Don't be so sensitive. All right, what were you going to get to before I rudely interrupted you?
So when it comes to competition and you're trying to decide who the starter is going to be, ideally in training camp, correct me if I'm wrong, you would like them to rotate with the ones, right? So one series, the left tackle is Sheeto, as they like to call him. The next series with the ones, it's J-Mo, as they like to call Jordan Morgan. Very creative nicknames. Almost as good as MG for Matthew Golden. Instead, for the first week of camp, because of Elton and Aaron Banks' back issues, real or imagined, J-Mo was at right guard almost all the time. Then, Sheeto hurts his groin-o, and now he hasn't been doing much. He did 11-on-11, I believe, on Tuesday last week. I don't know if he did anything against the Colts. Didn't play in either preseason game. And Jordan Morgan, according to Pro Football Focus, has played 61 snaps in the two games. He has not allowed a pressure, a hit, a hurry, a sack. He's got an 80.1 grade, which, again, is not the end-all be-all, as we always like to say. The question I have for you is, this competition, how are you going to know if you've got the best guy? This is a big week for the Brewers and the Cubs. It's a big week for the left tackle competition, is it not? To get them both out there simultaneously so they can go mano a mano. No?
Who in the Bible would be the biggest comeback story? Since today's biblical
month. Well, you did mention Lazarus. I mean, he was dead.
That's a pretty good comeback, yeah. I don't want to go that far with this analogy. But
praise the Lord.
I'll tell you what, Jordan Morgan, I think all of us thought they're going to give him opportunities, but Rashid was going to be the heavy favorite. And then family night scrimmage, and oh my God, Lucas Van Ness beat him twice, and oh, da, da, he can't play. Oh, and then I was like, oh God, for Jordan's sake, I hope this isn't the rest of the narrative, because if he ends up being the sixth man, everybody and their brother is going to be calling him a bust, and and it's early, you know, there's development patterns. And to Jordan Morgan's credit, and this isn't, it's not as if when he was going against Indy, correct me if I'm wrong, Indianapolis played their starters on defense, correct?
They did. You are correct, sir, yes.
Jordan Morgan looked smooth. Mm-hmm. You know, again, watching him set and pass off stunts, he called a shot. He wants to be the left tackle. Whether or not you want to hear him say that publicly or not, that is up for debate. But he has bounced back from whatever setbacks we saw. And for most of us on the outside thinking Sheed has played 38 games, there's also an open opportunity battling with Sean Ryan at right guard. Jordan Morgan is probably not going to win that left tackle spot. I would argue right now, if you went down to Hard Rock, and I know they don't cover this, Jordan Morgan's the odds-on favorite now to be the left tackle against the Detroit Lions. I think Goody wanted that. He needed to see this young man showcase some things. And I think with the fact that Sheed has missed some time, I would not be surprised. And I don't think it's by any stretch a done deal yet. But this has been something that you just see kind of the roller coaster's going. And Jordan Morgan has been steady Eddie, playing good, solid football at left tackle. He moves well. There's a reason they drafted him in the first round. He's starting to figure it out. And when you have those days, I said last week, if he puts together two good days in the scrimmage and in this game, it's going to be harder and harder for Sheed to come back and recapture that job when he's a first-round pick. So I think Jordan Morgan has positioned himself to now be the odds-on favorite to start that Sunday afternoon game against the Detroit Lions in a couple of weeks.
We were talking about this after we got done with assistant coaches yesterday, though, and this is not a reason to give the job to someone who didn't win it, right? Just like being a first-round pick is not a good reason to give someone the job if he did not earn it. But he has played well. The question I have is, how exactly do things function if they go with Morgan as the left tackle? You know that they're not going to get through 17 games with all five starters all in their places with sunshiny faces and healthy. So if you're going to do that, Sheed is not a guard. Like Brian Bulaga before him, he is a tackle. So you're going to have to do some serious juggling if there's an injury, as opposed
to... Hold up a second. Is Jordan Morgan a guard?
I think they feel like with his shorter arms and his feet and his athleticism that he can play everywhere but center.
They drafted him to be a left tackle. He wants to be a left tackle. Well, did they not? Why are they playing him out there? Why are they putting him out there if they don't want him at left tackle?
Yeah.
I mean, is Sean Ryan just this inconsistent that, and again, when injuries happen, you have to adjust. And if their best adjustment will be to put Sheed at left tackle and him at right guard, okay, I understand that. But is Sean Ryan, like, it just feels to me like when he's playing, he plays hard. There doesn't seem to be a lot of love for old 7-5.
No. I also would say that we're looking at 2026, and Sheed's not here. Sean Ryan's not here. I'd be curious to know what their offensive line will look like next year. Now, let's just focus on this year for now.
Yeah, I ain't worried about next year.
But it'll be interesting because Anthony Belton, when you're a second-round pick, they picked you that high for a reason. It is not for you to get five penalties in one half.
Old U71. Bad, tough game. Yeah.
Suboptimal there. Although, it wasn't all his fault. Apparently, the guards also lining up. So, again, apparently Sean Ryan might have been involved. I don't know. We're blaming other people. Hey, we will.
Belty.
Yeah, Truman. Yeah, Truman. Yeah. We will continue this conversation, but I think Sheed is going to practice today. We'll find out in about 45 minutes or so.
Do you agree with my assessment?
No.
Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Favored to win the left tackle spot.
I agree with that. I don't think it's donezo, though. I don't think it's Rap City.
Just for the record, because I know we're Soundgraph City here, I never said Rap City. I said he is the favorite. He has overtaken who I thought was going to be. I thought it was about 80-85% about the second or third day of camp.
Pretty big swing.
I would say it's now 60-40, Jordan?
40%. If you get a 40% chance of rain when you're going golfing, you're looking at that going, I think it's more likely, even though the percentage is not over 50, you're thinking, there's a good chance it's going to rain.
Yeah, I'm not writing Sheeto off yet because of what you just said.
Okay.
The fact that Jordan Morgan is still viewed and could potentially be a guard is the only reason, because right now, if you had an open competition and you watch training camp and you watch these games, Sheed hadn't played.
He has not. Zero
snaps.
He's
got back history of playing, and you know what he can do, and that is worth something, no question. But if he was really your guy, you wouldn't open up the competition.
No, you're
just
right.
Just like that fake competition at right tackle was never actually competition.
No.
With Zach Tom.
No.
And for everybody out there that's saying, well, Zach Tom, they could end up moving him to center. Not paying him $25 million a year, they're not moving him to center.
He'd be making Creed Humphrey money, who is a center, by the way. All right, I want to get to what Matt LaFleur is going to do in practice this week and maybe even as soon as today that he hates it, despises is the word he used.
I'm intrigued.
That's why I'm teasing it out. We'll tell you what it is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. Isn't this the year, and I'll turn right back around.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back. So we've learned we've learned a lot of things about Matt LaFleur over the years, but one of them is there's one thing that he despises. That was the word he used yesterday. And that is 7-on-7. Here's Matt LaFleur discussing his plan for Jordan Love's return to practice.
Hopefully get him back in some capacity into practice. We kind of just went through everything. We're going to alter some things to allow him to get involved. Do my favorite 7-on-7 that I absolutely despise, but in some instances it's good. So I'd rather him do that than just throw on air. So we'll incorporate some 7-on-7 into practice.
Tausch, you don't get to take part in 7-on-7 because you're a lineman, right? The center does. Somebody's got to snap the ball.
Yep.
But other than that, no lineman, no defensive lineman either. Why would a coach despise 7-on-7, and do you view it the same way as the head coach does?
So, as you said, typically the O-line goes with the D-line, does one-on-ones during 7-on-7, and then you get some good corner wide receiver work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I actually, last week when that news broke and they said he'd be back next week, I said, well, it'll be 7-on-7 will be the only thing he'll be able to do, because the last thing you want to do is have anybody around his hands or his feet. You want him to get, kind of recomfortabilized out there. So I don't fully understand. I mean, I understand it's not real football, but neither is one-on-ones, and people seem to love watching O-line, D-line one-on-ones. It's a drill. And instead of it being on air or just, routes, you have to still fit it in windows. You have to make reads. So I guess I would wonder why Matt hates it and why he doesn't think it's valuable when your quarterbacks are healthy. But there is no doubt that is a much better way for Jordan to get back into things, seeing things happen in the coverages at full speed rather than just, Matt LaFleur does routes on air. Like, I've seen him throw balls routes on air.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get Jordan Love up to speed in a very important 5-day stretch coming up here in September. If he's ready, you can get him moving, get him doing it. I don't fully understand why this is such a sticking point for Matt.
Are you in
Did
any
he explain
way?
Why?
No, he doesn't. He thinks the quarterback needs to feel some pressure because you don't.
You do.
But in this scenario, he's saying he's willing to not do that. Right. Because he doesn't want to put him at risk.
Matt. I mean, wow. Well, what I never understood is, and we've done this for years, you have your blitz, you have your normal team, you have third down. There are a lot of other ways you're going to do all that. Yes, you always want to have things as game-like as you can, but that doesn't mean every period, especially at this point, why on earth you're in training camp. I guess I'm just a little dumbfounded that he's so anti 7-on-7.
That's... Yeah, he said it last year very firmly, but he was, again, it was because he was changing it up because the Ravens wanted to do some 7-on-7. So he, again, thank you for your service, stepped aside and allowed for it. But yeah, I understand the philosophy, right? Like, again, if your quarterback is fully healthy, you're not worried about him, you can go with the pass rush, and it's a little more realistic. He still can't get hit, but I understand his philosophy behind it. But in this instance, this seems really smart. So we'll see if Jordan Love does that today. Their practice starts at 10:30. It is closed to fans and people doing radio programs. I mean, I could be there. I would just miss the rest of the show and be Hunter and Tausch.
Sure.
But we will see what he's able to do. There was hope that
he could
actually
put that little baby AirPod in, and nobody would know that you're even there doing it.
They just think you're talking to yourself.
Yeah, that's true. But
I saw an episode. I think it was an episode of The Office that I think Jim had one of those, and he was sitting there. He had it like it was a really small little pin you put in your ear, and you can hear and you can talk, and people could come by and say, Wildy's losing his mind. He's over there talking to himself.
Yeah, except I don't know if you know this, but our program, turns out it's fairly popular. And so it is available on the radio,
but you ask for forgiveness,
on your
not
app.
Permission.
They would find out about the show being on.
Sure,
yeah, that's true.
Sure.
I would like to ask you for permission to do something. Can you, would you be willing to do a Prize Picks read here?
Indeed, preseason football underway. We just saw the Bears lay it on Buffalo last night. Oh, everybody's excited for Chicago again. Win that offseason. Don't miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. Simple way to play, more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. Get your picks right and cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. Prize Picks, the best way to get action on sports in more than 40 states, including our wonderful state of Wisconsin. Prize Picks puts their members first. So all withdrawals are fast and safe and secure. They offer Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, more quick, easy deposits into your account. They invented Prize Picks, invented the Thomas Edison of the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. Double your money, even if one of your picks doesn't hit. The best way to win real money this football season. Beautiful part two. You got all these projections of Joe Burrow this season long. Last year, Old T didn't do so hot. I'm going to jump back in. I'm going to look at it this week, and I'm going to make some picks. I'm going to turn my sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI, and you get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Just to clarify, so you're the guy who's always worried about saying the phrase Super Bowl in conjunction with some sort of advertising component to the show.
Yeah.
Have you checked with Thomas Edison's estate on whether or not you could include him in a Prize Picks read?
Well, no, because I'm not. I am not saying Thomas Edison uses Prize Picks. I'm saying this is the Thomas Edison, also, the great inventor.
Also,
right?
Thomas
the great
Edison,
inventor.
He's been like, I feel like he's been out long enough that it's kind of like the public domain. Like Steamboat Willie will be going into the public domain, so people can use that for movies and shows. Like it'll be that kind of a thing.
All right, you fact check the public domain availability.
What is Steamboat Willie?
That's the very first Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Steamboat Willie?
Yeah, the old black and white where he's like on the boat.
Okay. Okay.
Who invented the steamboat again? Who is the steamboat inventor?
I
Thomas
know.
Edison?
No, come on. You don't know that?
It
Fulton?
Doesn't appear.
Is it Fulton that invented the steamboat?
I don't think it's fair for you to be shocked that we don't know it when you don't know it.
Robert Fulton.
Yeah, Fulton.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Hunter, I did know it. I was asking if you guys knew it. So
the first commercially successful steamboat, the Claremont, in 1807. That is the kind of information you get on Wilde and Tausch. And you'll get more of it in the 10 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.